praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's get started. Father, I pray for your utterance. You orchestrate and anoint this message as you feel it should be anointed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 1. Are you ready? Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." In other words, they passed through the Red Sea and coming out of Egypt. And when they were in the wilderness 40 years, they dwelt under a cloud by day for 40 years. For 40 years, God supernaturally had a cloud over Israel, and by night there was a pillar of fire at the tabernacle. Amen. Demonstrating God's presence and His protection, the cloud being His covering. So He says, don't be ignorant of this. He's telling the New Testament church, don't be ignorant of some things that took place in the Old Testament. Amen. I'm going somewhere with this. "And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." In other words, the cloud and the sea represented baptism. How? Into the body of, into the kingdom of God, into the, as the people of God. With us, it's into the body of Christ. "And did all eat that same spiritual meat." Now here, Paul is calling the manna. Remember the manna that fell from heaven? He's calling it a type of spiritual meat. Now, it wasn't spiritual meat. It was real food. It fell from heaven. It was white. Amen. Tasted like honey. Looked like, the size of coriander seed, it says. And they gathered it every day, and for 40 years they ate manna. Amen. It was real. But he says it's a type of spiritual food. Now, who is the spiritual food? Jesus is the bread of life, right? He said, "I'm the manna that fell from heaven. I'm the bread of life, food from God." But he's saying here, the manna that fell has a representation to us as the New Testament church. He says, "And did all drink that same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, here's to me is one of the greatest miracles we never talk about in the Old Testament. Understand, Moses struck a rock and a river flowed out of the rock. Now that's amazing in itself, isn't it? But now it says that rock followed him. I'm telling you, they had a rock follow them through the desert, through the wilderness, to provide that water. And it says that rock, how many know Jesus is the rock, was a representation of Jesus that the water or the rivers of living water, the rivers of life, flow out of. Again, he's repeating here, the things that happen in the Old Testament are representations of what God is doing in the New. Again, I'm going somewhere with all of this. Verse 5. Now, we've been talking about the stuff written in the Old Testament as a representation for what to expect in the New. Amen. How many know we still drink of the water from the rock? We still eat of the spiritual meat. Amen. We're still baptized. We're still under the covering of God. But he switches gears somewhat. He's still talking about the Old Testament being a representation, but now he's switching gears from good to not so good. Verse 5 says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." The vast majority of Israel perished in the wilderness. God brought them out. They were baptized in the river, baptized in the cloud. They ate the same spiritual meat, drank the same spiritual drink. But yet they did not have faith to go in and possess the promised land. They didn't have to go. They were God's people, but they did not have the faith to go in and possess what God had already said belonged to them. And God says, "I had to destroy them in the wilderness because only a people of faith can go in and possess what I've made available to them." Now, this morning's message is going to start to get a little bit heavy. Amen. But we're in perilous times. Remember, Paul said in the last times, perilous times shall come. Last days, perilous times shall come. We're in perilous times. And we as a church, and understand the majority of sermons we do in here, the services we do, we're talking about who we are in Christ Jesus, what we have, how to use our faith, how to advance the kingdom, how to usher in the glory of God, that we're the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. But there is an area of Scripture we cannot ignore. Amen. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We don't want to leave off any of the warnings or admonitions on behalf of just wanting to party all the time. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of the church right now, these end times, that think it's just about getting saved and just having a great time, and there's never any challenges, never any battles, never any devils to confront. You know, just do what you want to do now that you've been under the blood, all is well. And I want to tell you, God doesn't give us that message in the New Testament. He tells us there's things to be aware of, things to be cautious of. Amen. And he says there were those that were overthrown. Now, these were God's people. They were baptized in the river. Amen. In the sea. But yet they were overthrown. It is my desire for me not to be overthrown. It is my desire for you not to be overthrown. Amen. But Paul writes this for a purpose. He says there's things you need to be aware of. There are warnings I need to give you so you don't make the same mistakes that they made in the Old Testament, which is our example. He says, they made errors. Make sure you don't make the same mistakes. Verse 6 says, for now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He says, these are our examples. What happened in the old is an example to us that we don't fall into the same traps they fell into. And really we have no reason to, because we have what they didn't have. You've been born again and made in the image of God. You've been made the righteousness of God. You now have the grace to escape sin. Amen. You've been given the anointing they didn't have access to like we have. You've been given access that you don't have to go to a priest to get a word from God. You can go directly to the throne of God and get an answer from God for yourself. You've got the Holy Spirit in you to teach you and guide you and direct you into all truth. We have a whole package that God has given us to allow us to overcome what they fell prey to in the Old Testament. I don't believe the majority of God's people are going to fall in the new like they fell in the old. Amen. We have a better package. It's so much of a better package that Jesus put it this way. He said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest of the Old Testament. He that's least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And he says there was none greater than John the Baptist. So the package you've been given of power, of guidance, of provision, of open heavens, enable you to be established above what any Old Testament saint ever had available to them. Amen. But yet there's still warnings involved. He says the old is our example. We should learn from the Old Testament, because that's where we're going before we're done this morning. He says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Now, idolatry is more than just worshiping a statue on the mantle, dusting it off now and then. Idolatry is you worshiping anything above God. You want anything more than you want God. Amen. You'd rather be anywhere else than church. Or in the presence of God. I understand that some people don't want to be in church. I'm talking about in the presence of God. I'd rather be in the presence of God anywhere. Amen. Than without Him. Anywhere else. Amen. He says, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Playtime. Playtime in the church. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Fornication should not be in the house of God. Shouldn't be, you know, operating in the people of God. I've lost people over that one. Well, I just think you're judging me. I'm not judging you. The Word declares it. If I read what the Word says, it's not me judging you. I didn't know you were doing it. You're the one doing it. Well, maybe I did. But you're the one involved in it. The Word is making the declaration. Well, I'm going somewhere they don't preach that. Well, that doesn't mean you're not going to hell. You'll find somebody to tickle your ears with whatever you want to do. It says, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Notice this. This is for our warning. This is in the New Testament. He says, some murmur and were destroyed. Amen? Some of them tempted Christ. In other words, what he's talking about there is where they were declaring God can't provide our needs. They were saying God's not supplying adequately. They questioned the provision of God, and they were destroyed. There are things given to us we should not be doing. We shouldn't be questioning God's provision for us as New Testament Christians. We shouldn't be murmuring against the move of God or what God's doing, amen, or mocking the prophetic. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Now all these things, everybody say all. All these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, in other words, our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things were written for our admonition, for our correction, for our instruction. What happened in the Old Testament is supposed to be a lesson, act as a lesson for us, what to do and what not to do, and even what to expect. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but which is common, such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Flee from idolatry. God says, don't fall to the temptations they fell to in the Old Testament. Amen. And no matter what challenges come your way, if you'll call upon God, He is well able to deliver you. I am convinced the direction this nation is heading, the direction the world is heading, we will have times we will have to call upon the deliverance power of God. Amen. And I believe He will deliver. I believe you're going to have your faith in operation to access what God says is yours to escape the pressures and the challenges that economic collapse will produce. Because I believe economic collapse or economic extreme strain is going to take place. Do you follow me on that? Now that being said, turn to Deuteronomy. And really, I wish I had 3 hours to preach this morning to get this all out in one day. There's no way it'll come out all in one day. So I'm sure this is going to be a series. I hope you can hang with it as we get to the end of this declaration. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll go to chapter 6. In Deuteronomy, God is reiterating directives He gave to Israel about going in to possess the land. It's Moses' last days, and God speaking to him about sending the people forth to possess the promised land and what they would expect, and even what they should be doing in their future to maintain God's blessing on their lives. God tells him, He says, if you'll follow me, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you in this land. Amen. I believe God birthed America in a similar fashion He birthed Israel. We brought this out, I think, last week, that it said God birthed the nation of Israel because of God's love for the people. But God birthed America because of people's love for God. But I believe it is unquestionable that God birthed both nations. There has never been a nation dedicated to God like this nation has been dedicated to God. 80% of all missions giving comes out of America. The major revivals that have taken place over the past, 500 years, the majority of them took place in America. Amen. This is the land of the free. This is a land that God has given liberty to, that we're to stand fast in. And God has blessed this nation, rising up from 13 colonies to, the most powerful nation on the earth up till now. Amen. But we've been dedicated to God. But we've seen this nation falling away from God for the past 50 years. Amen. We've seen, prayer taken out of the schools and abortion legalized. Now homosexuality and drug use, authenticated legally. This nation has fallen away from God. Not to mention the arts and entertainment and everything else in our education system. They have fallen away from God. And God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore Swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them, give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. God said, I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou digst not. I need the New King James or something on some of these words. Which you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees which thou didn't plant. When thou shalt have eaten and are full, then beware. When you access the fullness of the blessing I put on your nation, beware. When you step into the provision, when you step into the protection, when you step into God promoting you as a nation like no nation ever before, then beware. Lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Did you know in England we were in bondage? The church was in bondage in England. America was raised up as a place of religious liberty, of Christian liberty. Amen. To escape that bondage. He says, beware you don't forget God who brought you into this liberty. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Do you see this? Now follow me on this. I'm going to make some points this morning. First of all, let me bring this forth. What I'm bringing you this morning is not a prophetic word as I know it. I'm starting a series here that I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord. This is a thus projecteth Pastor Jack. Do you follow me? Now understand, I've had visions of the glory coming. I've talked about the vision of the earth opening up and swallowing the river that the revivalists are speeding up on the speedboat. You've heard those before, right? I've seen visions of destruction. I've heard prophet after prophet talk about economic collapse. See visions of economic collapse. I believe we're going to see extreme economic hard times in the future. Worldwide. And in America. Whether the stock market will totally collapse or not, I don't know. I really don't think so, but I think we're going to see major, major drop. Harold Eatman prophesied some years ago. He said God showed him it's going to drop to 5,500. Amen. Well, that's a long drop if you understand the stock market right now. It's the furthest it's dropped, you know, probably since the Great Depression. I believe unemployment is going to go out the roof. I believe this nation is going to see extreme challenges in the future. But this is me based on what I've heard other prophets say, based on what I've seen in the visions God's given me or the words God's given me. Amen. But I'm adding to that what I believe Scripture gives us as an example for our admonition. But what I'm going to get to is looking at the Old Testament, what was prophesied by God, what happened to the nation that turned away from Him. And what the Old Testament shows us as a type, as a representation of what happened then, we can also project will probably happen today. Amen, because there's nothing new under the sun. What happened in the Old Testament was a representation of what God's going to bring to pass in the end times. Because He declares the end from the beginning. You can access the end activities by what took place in the beginning. Operations or activities. Do you see this? Now, Israel, God brought Israel into the promised land, made him the most prosperous nation on earth. In Solomon, they couldn't hardly count the gold and silver they used to at the back door because it was virtually worthless. They had so much silver. Amen. That it became like stones. And God blessed Israel like no other nation around. Amen. But Israel turned their back on God. And in a matter of a few hundred years, 300-400 years, Israel went from being the greatest, most prosperous nation on earth to non-existent. They were scattered into the nations. Again, God brought Israel back together to their land through Ezra and Nehemiah, but in the time of Jesus when they rejected the Messiah. In 70 AD, Israel was once Jerusalem and Israel were once again destroyed and scattered. And for 1,900 years, nearly 1,900 years, Israel ceased to be a nation. Amen. They ceased to have a land. They ceased to be a nation. So where God said, if you turn away from me, I will destroy you, that happened. And I'll assure you, there were people in David's day, there were people in Solomon's day that would say that could never happen. Do you follow me? There were people in Israel that were under such prosperity, such blessing, under such free flow of resources and provision, they said, oh no, we'll be here forever. Nothing could ever destroy this nation. Yet it was destroyed. Amen. Israel, I believe, is to some level of type of the United States. A nation created by God, for God, blessed by God. And we just read that everything that happened to Israel was for our understanding, for our learning, for our admonition. And if God allowed Israel to be destroyed, what makes us think the United States is immune to destruction? Well, we have so much land, we have such a mighty military, it's being undercut right now. We have the world's most powerful, mightiest economy. It's being gutted right now through printing of money like never before. Through this massive accumulation of debt. I believe this nation is headed to major problems. Amen. And I'm bringing forth this message to let you know what I believe is coming to pass so you're not caught unawares. So you're prepared for the future. Amen. And you won't come to me later and say, well, you didn't tell me this is going to happen. I'm telling you now. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm telling you, according to what we've seen prophesied and to what the Scripture declares to us, this is the end goal of where America is going without a spiritual turnaround. Without a revival hitting this nation, we're going to see these things happen because no nation can turn their back on God like this is and not reap the results of the Word of God. And these are spiritual principles. This is the Word of God declaring the end result. And we've got to be a people that are not just caught up in this la-la land of, you know, well, I'm a Christian and God loves me, and not ready for the challenges that may lie ahead. Understand, I said may lie ahead. Are you with me this morning? I don't want to scare anybody today, but I do want to put you on alert. I want to have you ready that you're prepared for what's coming. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And again, we're well familiar with this chapter. But we're going to look at it again this morning. Have you got it? Verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now we usually take this passage as spoken to us individually, but really it was written to nations. It was written to Israel. Amen. God said, if you'll obey my voice, I mean, this is the voice of God. If you follow my directions, if you walk by my statutes, my precepts. Amen. Versus this silly, you know, falsified liberty that people think they can do anything and, you know, it's under the blood. He says, if you follow me, I will set your nation above all nations. It is understood by many that the United States is among, if not the greatest nation that ever existed. Amen? We've been set on high above all nations. I mean, you go back 30 years, it wasn't even close. But through silly political decisions, we've allowed everybody to catch up with us. Still with the greatest military on earth, greatest technology in military. That's being gutted right now to allow others to catch up. Amen. God set us on high above all nations. And here's what he says will take place. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Doesn't matter if you live in the country or the city, you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be thy fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, all your livestock is going to increase. Understand, this represented wealth in Old Testament times. You're going to increase. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, your food supply will be blessed. You'll have not just food to eat for that day, you'll have a storehouse of food for the future. Now let me throw this in right now. Where we're going in the next few weeks is I'm going to be teaching on famine. Potential famine in the land. And I'm not talking about famine of the Word of God. That's already here for the most part. I'm talking about famine for food. I believe the United States, I'm going to bring it out in Scripture. According to the representations we have in the Old Testament regarding God's judgment or the curse coming upon a people, famine was always connected to it. Well, not in America. We have lots of food. Well, I believe there's lots of food in America, but can you get to it? I've been told the average supply of your supermarket, say your Kroger's in Georgetown, their average food stores really are only good for 3 to 4 days. And if snow's coming, the milk and bread are gone in 3 to 4 hours. The reason you have so much food in Kroger's is because you have a trucking line continually bringing food to you, continually restocking shelves. The actual supply in the store, if there was a run on the store, if there were no trucks coming in, what they had on the shelves would only last 3 to 4 days. It was 3 to 4 weeks. It's still not very long. And if there was some reason that fuel was made unavailable, trucking would shut down. If there was some reason fuel had to be redirected, say for military purposes, you'd have no food supply. There may be plenty of food around, but you can't get to it. Amen. Not to mention, if you study Scripture, the majority of the times there was famine, it was connected to drought. Well, if there's drought, then we don't have food. Back in the Dust Bowl days, there was a shortage of farm supplies. Amen? Drought hit the Midwest. I believe curse hit the Midwest. Coming out of the roaring 20s where sin was just flagrantly being displayed, I believe the curse came on this nation and threw us into the Great Depression then. But nothing like it's going to hit us in the end times. Should we see the economic collapse that we're heading into? And I believe that we're heading towards potential famine. And before we're done with this series, we're going to talk about you may be considering storing up some food supplies. Or if the trucks can get to Kroger's for a few days. Or a few weeks, or maybe in a few months. The droughts and famines we see in the Old Testament under the judgment of God lasted for years. Amen. And food became currency. A whole lot of people are storing up gold. Amen. Buying up what they think is going to be, you know, of great value. And I'm not sure the most valuable thing in the future is not going to be a can of Beanie Weenies. Potentially. If we look at Scripture as our example. And Paul says, don't forget Scripture is our example. I just don't believe all that. I hope it doesn't happen. But I had a precious boss when I was at IBM. He hired me in. He mentored me. I preached at his funeral here last year. And a World War II veteran. And I talked to him about the war. He wouldn't talk much about it, but he'd always say this. He'd tell me, he says, we go into meetings. He'd always be prepared. And he says, no good soldier's ever unprepared. A good soldier's always prepared for the battle ahead. And better to be prepared and not need your gun, which might be a whole other sermon itself. Better to be prepared and not need it than to be unprepared and it's not there. Do you follow me? Well, I don't believe all that famine stuff. I hope it's not true. I'm just going with you with what is it I believe I'm seeing and what Scripture is showing me. Amen. They don't leave out of here and say, Pastor Jack said famine's coming. I'm not saying that. I am projecting that based on the Word of God, based on tying it to the prophecies we do know that have taken place. Amen. I don't want famine to come. I like eating. Amen. As you can see, I like to eat. Verse 5 again, God says, blessed shall be your food supply. Do you see that? And that you should have a storage, a storehouse of food supply. The average American family only has a few days' food supply in the house. Amen. If the supermarket doesn't have it, they're in trouble. Amen. Let the snowflake start to fall and watch the run on the Kroger store. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. These are all the blessings of following God. This is what we've seen God do to this nation. This is all applied to this nation. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, at your wealth and all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They know America is a Christian nation. Until here this, you know, last few years, it was declared we're no longer one by our head. And they shall be afraid of thee. People didn't want, you just didn't want to mess with America. Amen. I tell you what, they give Ronald Reagan a hard time. But when Gaddafi rose up against America, he sent a cruise missile into his house, personally gave him a message, said, you don't mess with America. They wanted to declare, well, there were no weapons of mass destruction, but we had Saddam Hussein thumbing his nose at America, and George Bush said, we'll deal with that one. Get ready for shock and awe. There was a message given, don't mess with America. But now we see you can kill our ambassadors with no penalty, with no support. You follow where we're going here with this? They're not afraid of us anymore. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure to the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You shall lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. Do you know it was only a short time ago, America was the number one loaning country in the world. You might know how long ago that was. Tim, do you know that one? It's not been that long ago. We were the number one loaning company, lending nation in the world. Now we're the number one debtor nation in the world. We already see this thing starting to swing. And again, my purpose this morning is not to offend anybody. I'm just declaring what I believe the Word of God declares, you know, shows us, and what we see happening in this nation. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto thy commandments, the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now those are what we call the blessings of God on a nation that will follow Him. But the chapter doesn't stop there. The word that God gives, this is the word that God gave Moses, doesn't stop there. In verse 15 it says, but, there's that but word again. In other words, there are exceptions. In other words, there are things that can neutralize what we just said. Reverse the results of what he just proclaimed. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We haven't hearkened to God as a nation. Even the church isn't listening very well. Amen. To observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. In other words, you can't outrun them. He says, curses will come up on the nation that does not follow me. Are you guys ready for this? Because it's a whole lot longer than the blessing list. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. You're going to be cursed whether you're in town or out of town. In other words, no place to run. We had that song Hank Williams Jr. wrote several years back called Country Boy Can Survive. If everything falls apart, a country boy will make it. He can get some squirrels or something. Amen. It's coming a time there are not going to be squirrels left if curse fully hits us. Are you following me? You can only moonlight, scope out so many deer until they're all gone. Hallelujah. You're not going to escape this unless you've got God on your side. And guess what? We do have God on our side. We'll talk about the escape clauses before we're done. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Stop right there. What do we say the basket and store represented? Food supply. In other words, there will be famine. There will be no food supply. Hold this spot for a second. Turn over to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 24. Now what happens here is God had told David never to take a count of the people of Israel, never to take a census, never to do a head count. Amen. Otherwise, they'll be dependent upon how many soldiers they have versus God's strength. And David disobeyed God and took a census. Amen. So God shows up and says, you sinned, and there's going to be a result or a curse come upon you because of that disobedience. That was on taking a census. God says the nation is going to suffer for this. I believe as a nation, America has done a whole lot more worse things than take a census. David didn't pass laws authorizing homosexual marriage. David didn't pass laws authorizing drug use, allowing free flow of pornography. David didn't declare they were no longer a godly nation. Amen. David took a census. And God said, because of this disobedience, there will be a result upon your land. Amen. Over in verse number 13. So the prophet Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, here's what God says regarding your punishment. Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I will return him that sent me. Now here, God gives David 3 choices of the penalty for disobedience. Famine, defeat in battle, or plague. None of those are good. But I want you to notice here, in where the curse is allowed to come on a land, the number one penalty listed is famine. And not just, not being able to get any fresh bread for a few days, 7 years of famine. It's the same 7 years that Joseph experienced in Egypt. Amen. 7 years of famine. whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given a whole lot as a nation. And I believe where much is rejected, much curse is activated. I don't know how long a famine we may be facing. We like to just, oh, well, it's America. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Maybe we just, you know, maybe there were no trucks will get to Kroger for a week and, you know, we can just survive on some, you know, no Twinkies anymore. Little Debbie's. And you think it's not going to be a big thing. We got to hear God. We have to be ready. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, with Joseph, and we're going to study this. We won't get to it today. But with Joseph, God told Joseph, store up for 7 years in preparation for the 7 years of famine. Take the time of plenty and store up for the time of famine. Amen. Be prepared. We're just in fear. I'm not in fear. I'm trying to hear God be prepared as He says to be prepared. And I'm trying to let you know what may be in our future. Amen. And you know, I believe we'll hear God. If you just, you know, say the famine lasted 7 years, you only stored up for 7 days. If you store it up and in faith, I believe God will multiply what you have for 7 years. It's ignoring His direction that turns out to be a problem. Amen. When I saw that vision of the motorboat speeding up the river and behind him the earth was collapsing, the revivalists were partying. They were having the time of their life, although everything behind them was collapsing. And I believe God's going to have us positioned in the same place if we will listen. Amen. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are y'all following me this morning? Verse number 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land and increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Your wealth's going to disappear. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I know you're miserable all the time. The Lord shall send upon thee, talking about this land, cursing and vexation and rebuke and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. In other words, everything you try to do doesn't work. I'm talking about the nation that rejects God and the people that reject God. Let me bring this out right now so you don't get in too much fear. The Word declares that we're not of this nation. We're a holy nation before God. Amen. We're of a different citizenship. We have a right to different provision, but it will take faith to access it. I did a series here a couple years ago on biblical prosperity. And I launched it out and I made this declaration on, I believe, most of the messages that God told me. I had a word from the Lord. That there's coming a time that if we don't know how to access prosperity by faith, we don't learn it now, we will have to learn it in tribulation. Either in tribulation or the tribulation. I'm not sure some that don't learn prosperity now won't end up in the tribulation because they rejected the word now. But I believe tribulation's coming. You've got to know how to trust God for provision. How to sow seed and believe God for the increase. To be connected to the kingdom of God through tithes and offerings. And through the words you speak. Well, I don't believe it's all that. I can go by what you believe, or I can go by what the Word of God declares. And the Word says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And all I'm doing right now is reading to you out of this book. Have I strayed off of the book? I'm going by the book that's proven so infallible that it's got me born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. How about you? Verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence, that's terminal illnesses, cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. In other words, disease is going to chase you. Mold is going to come into your house. You can't get rid of it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with I just read that, didn't I? And the heaven that is over thee shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. You can't even hear God if you're rejecting Him at certain times. We were talking about this Thursday night, but I've been studying through Jeremiah. It's going to be coming to life like never before. And God sent Jeremiah originally and says, tell Israel to repent. If they repent, I'll save the nation. But finally it came to a point God told Jeremiah, He says, don't even pray for them anymore. Because if they cry to me, I won't even hear. They reached a point, a tipping point in sin and in rejection of me. I'm not even going to listen to their cries anymore. Amen. In other words, America's reaching a point there's no more jailhouse salvation. Where things got so bad you'll finally call upon God. If you follow the point I'm trying to make there. God said, I'm going to make the heavens brass. They won't even be able to hear me. I won't even listen to them. Amen. And the earth underneath their feet be iron. You probably can't even plow the ground. It gets so hard from drought. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder. There's drought connected to it. And dust from heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and shall flee seven ways from before them. And thou shalt be removed unto all kingdoms of the earth. This is talking about a nation being conquered and dispersed. This happened to Israel. This happened to Israel to the Word. And America is able to escape. Well, we have a clear example of what not to copy. That we're going to escape the results of the same thing. And thy carcass shall be meat under the fowls of the air, and under the beasts of the earth, and no man shall frighten thee away. The Lord will smite thee with boils. Oh, and going on and on. This whole chapter, I don't want to take time to read it, but this whole chapter talks about the results of a nation that steps into the curse. The blood of Jesus did not negate the curse off the earth. Nor did it nullify the principles of the kingdom of God that say when you reject the word, that you won't receive the results of the word. Amen. We're in perilous times. He says in verse 38, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather in but little. Gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. You can't even plan anything, and it brings forth. In other words, none of your emergency plans will work unless God's blessed it. Unless God has put His hand of approval on it. Amen. I'm going to let you read the rest of that chapter on your own so we just don't get bogged down in it. But verse after verse talks about the results of the curse. And one of the key areas of that curse is famine. Now what we're going to do in the following weeks is go through the story of Joshua in Egypt. And look how God moved in that situation and recognize it's an example. I believe the story of Joshua in Egypt, Joshua is a representation of the people of God. He's really a type of Jesus. Amen. Pharaoh, in this case, is a type of God. Amen. And Egypt could be said as a type of people that have rejected God. And Joshua rises up as a savior. Amen. Interprets the dream that the Pharaoh has, and through the interpretation is able to store up food that later acts as currency to buy the nation to bring forth an inversion of wealth. Everything we're believing for is shown us in the book of Joshua. But what we always want to ignore is that famine that takes place in the process. So next week we're going to look at this in more detail as we go through passages in Scripture dealing with famine. Before we go any further today, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this morning is more just introduction than anything else to where we're going in this teaching. And I hope you'll come back to hear the rest. First Peter chapter 2. Have you got it? Verse 9. But ye, everybody say me, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. Amen. We are now the people of God. Israel is no longer the people of God for this season. Amen. America is not the people of God. They've turned their back on him. The people of God is the church. We've been raised up unto God as a separate nation. You are known as an American, assuming you are an American, and primarily because you were born here. You were born in America. Because you were born in America, you automatically became an American citizen. Came under the influence or under the, jurisdiction of the Constitution of America and all the laws thereof, and have a right to all the blessings of citizenship being an American. Amen. When you were born again, you became a citizen automatically of the kingdom of heaven. May not have even known it. You know, a little baby's raised up, they go through, you know, the first years, probably till they get to school, and somebody says, oh, you're an American. Say a pledge of allegiance to the flag. Of course, they probably don't do that anymore either. We always said a pledge of allegiance to the flag. I'm an American. Oh, put your hand on your heart. I'm an American. We learned that. We had to learn we were Americans and what we had available to us and what our responsibilities were. We have to learn that we're citizens of another nation, a nation under God, the kingdom of God on earth. Amen. You belong to a different nationality now. Amen. In this nation, there is no such thing as racial division. There's no such thing as cultural division. There's no class division. There's no gender division in this kingdom. Amen. We're in a different kingdom. And because we're in a different kingdom, we come under a different constitution. We come under the influence of different spiritual laws. We have different spiritual responsibilities. And we have rights in this kingdom to higher levels of blessing. Amen. And I might throw this in, if you reject it, higher levels of curse. We have a right to kingdom blessings. So when famine hits the land, we have a right to live above the famine. Not just because you stored up some food, but because you know how to use your faith to bring in what God says belongs to you. Amen. I'm telling you, in the famine, when Elijah was sent to the woman who was about to make, you know, a couple cakes for her and her son, eat and die. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And the prophets said, make me a cake first. They accessed supernatural provision on their store. And God multiplied it all the way through the famine. I believe we will see these miracles. Because what was in the old is our example in the new. See, we can't throw out part of the word because it sounds uncomfortable. We can't throw out the Old Testament examples and prophecies and even declarations of God because, well, we think, well, it's all under the blood. The blood does not cover intentional disobedience. Unrepented of intentional disobedience. Amen. We as a nation have intentionally disobeyed God. I'm so glad I'm of a different nation. And I would be hope if I saw in this nation what's going on now, if I saw what was going on and did not have hope in God, hope in His provision, supernatural provision, I would be one disturbed person. But I have a higher hope. Amen. Let's look at it elsewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Here Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a citizen of one nation sent to dwell in another nation, to bring message, to bring communications from one nation to the other, to act as an intermediary, an interface between the two nations. Amen? Our citizenship is in heaven. But as an ambassador, we've been placed on earth to be the intermediary between God and the lost on this nation, on this planet. Amen? We're ambassadors. And you know, the story we've told in the past is one I'd heard. I'm told if you go to a lot of nations, you may go to a destitute nation. In fact, I think one of the examples I heard was Haiti. You go to Haiti and everything's desolate and, you know, dry and dead looking. But all of a sudden you see one building there that's got a fence around it and it's got green grass and trees and everything's beautiful and flowing. People say, "What's that?" And they say, "Well, that's the American ambassador, you know, ambassador's house, the consulate or whatever." What happened? America brought in grass. They brought in building supplies. They brought in trees. They brought in a sprinkler system, everything they need to have a nice looking image of what America represents. That the conditions in Haiti don't affect the conditions the ambassador lives in. But where there's an ambassadorship, they have a right to access the provision of their nation and bring it to where they're at, to live in the same state of existence they had in the original nation. And we as ambassadors to God have a right, even though we're assigned here, to access all the provision of heaven. And even demonstrate the goodness of God through accessing that provision to the lost that are around us. Amen. I mean, if you're in a third world country or, you know, a destitute nation, and you're the ambassador and you put in green grass and you got fountains and flowing water and, you know, everything's looking wonderful. And then you go out and you try to speak to somebody about, you know, changing their standards, changing their laws, you know, learning how to be democratic, righteous nation or whatever, you know, example you might want to give. And they'll say, "Well, who are you to tell us?" And they'll say, "Well, look at what I got. That's what the way we do it produces." You follow me? And they'll use what you show them as what you have in possession as, what's the word I need? As a stamp of approval on what you're saying. Confirmation. As confirmation of what you're saying. And when you, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, are in a nation surrounded by famine, and you still have to go on a weight loss program because you're eating so well, yet they're jogging, trying to get some pounds down. They're going, "What are you doing?" "Well, I got so much to eat, I don't know what to do. Amen. God keeps blessing me." You can point to your provision as proof that the ways of the kingdom of God really work. You are the representation of God's blessing ability on His people as ambassadors. We have a right to live above the famine. Did you know the entire famine, Joseph was never hungry? See, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Amen. He had plenty of food. But what happened? He was in the prophetic. He was in the forefront of what was going on. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." See that, verse 25, follow me on this now. He's talking to Christians. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven?" In other words, Paul's saying, if people that are disobeying God on earth don't escape, how much more are those that are citizens of heaven not escape if we disobey God? There is a penalty to disobeying God for leaving His path. Amen. For deciding you like sin better than you like God. Whose voice, look at verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, in other words, this is a prophetic statement. He has promised saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also heaven. I tell you what, I believe there's tribulation coming that will shake heaven and earth together. Not the heaven God's in. He's not talking about the third heaven. He's talking about the second heaven. It's going to shake the demonic kingdoms. That second dimension is going to be shaken. Emotions are going to be, I'm talking, people will tremble with fear. It's going to affect every part of creation underneath the third heaven. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, God says, I'm going to shake everything, that only that which will not be shaken will stand. I believe a trial is coming on the earth, not the great tribulation, but trials are coming, that it's going to shake everybody to the core. And you better have the right foundation in your core. Verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He says, we have a kingdom that cannot be moved. You've got to learn how to live by faith, to stand on the word, so you're immovable when shaking takes place. Even if you've got to lock in and say, bless God, everything in me is falling apart, but I trust in you, and watch God move. I'm hoping that we will have a wake-up call in this. Not to get caught up in daily grind, daily routine, and lose sight of where God's taking the world. Taking this nation. Amen? Now, we have a lot of people who won't receive this message. There's a whole lot of people in the charismatic realm who won't receive it. Well, we're the nation blessed to God. We have so much missions giving. God can't curse this nation because He needs us to bring the gospel. He can shake his nation to the core and still have us giving into the gospel. When a shaking takes place, anything with a weak foundation or no foundation collapses. That what God has blessed, it's evident what God's put his hand on. He wants to raise you up to something that cannot be shaken. Amen. I never thought I'd see this nation come to this. I never thought I had to preach this message. But I can't ignore the warning signs. I can't skim over scriptures we're given. Amen? As we've been saying over the past few weeks, life on earth will never be the same from this point on. The collapse is already taking place. Israel's on the precipice of going to war. Missiles are being fired. People are being killed. Egypt's saying missiles were fired yesterday from Egypt into Israel. And if this thing erupts, if this world falls into major war, don't count on any oil supply. Where does most of our oil come from? Middle East. Amen. We as a nation we've shut down so much of our oil producing efforts. Refuse to dig new wells. We have the energy, but we refuse to do it. Because it might harm a spider. Well, the things erupt like they could, maybe spiders all will be left. Heaven forbid the caribou would have to go under a pipe. And if the oil supply is shut down, don't think the interstates will be flowing and running with your food supply in the same fashion. Amen? Well, we'll pick this up next week, if you can stand it, if God takes me that direction. Amen. Again, I don't want you to be in fear. I want you to be in preparation. We're the ones God has blessed. Stand to your feet with me. Let's worship God.